Welcome to part three of our series that we've entitled Change Your World. Has anybody had any moments this week of changing your world where God gave you an opportunity just to connect with someone? I hope that he has. We talked about that last week, and I'm just really excited about this series. I actually have had a lot of feedback about this series. I had somebody last week tell me, that's probably the most practical message that you preached last week, because that's really what it's all about, and it really is. That, you know, if God were interested in just getting us to heaven, I believe probably when we got saved, he'd just zap us up right then. But no, he left us here so that we could have influence. And I believe actually we have a responsibility in what God has given us to be shared with other people. I don't think God wants us to hide behind the four walls of our church, but God wants us to get out and have influence and have impact to the rest of the world. Amen, everybody? So let's begin looking at our scripture that we're using for this series, found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It's there in your message notes, also on the screen behind me here, that you can look at. Looking at this powerful scripture that simply says, "You are the world's light, a city on a hill glowing in the night for all to see." And so Jesus says, don't hide your light. Don't stay behind the four walls of the church. Don't hide your light, but rather let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see so that they will praise your heavenly Father. In the first part of this series, we looked at the big picture and we talked about the seven streams of influence that are really throughout society, not just here in America, but around the world. There's the media, there's government, there's education, there's the home, there's the church. There's all these different spheres of influence that are out there, and we're all involved in some part of those spheres of influence. And we believe that it is really God's plan for us not to hibernate, but to infiltrate those seven spheres of influence and have impact, have influence. And by the way, you should be making a difference wherever God has placed you, right? In fact, you should be like that thermostat on the wall that when you change, you know, when you walk in the room, you change the temperature of the room. Is that the thermostat? That's the thermostat. One of them just reads what it is. The other one makes the difference, makes the change. But we need to be that one that makes a change when we walk into a room, and then that's the big picture. But last week, we brought the big picture down personally, and we talked about changing your world and your sphere of influence and where God has placed you. And we talked about the fact that there was one point in that message that there is a moment sometimes that God will give us a divine appointment, as you will. And I heard a story this week about an email that came to a church, and it was about a guy who had come from a particular church. He was at this gas station and he was pumping gas, and he noticed a lady there who was very distraught. It seemed like there was some issues there, and he was concerned about her, and he asked her. He said, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yeah," and he knew she was upset, and he said, "Is there anything that I could pray with you about?" And he just kind of took a leap of faith, and she said, "Well, not really," and then she said, "Well," and she was holding a pack of cigarettes, and she said, "Well, I do have this nicotine habit that an addiction that I wish I could get rid of and have money for other things. That's a need I've got, yeah." And he said, "Well, let's just pray about that." So he grabbed her hand with the cigarettes in her hand, pack of cigarettes in her hand, and prayed over her, and then, you know, went on his way. And honestly, the guy thought it was a little bit awkward to do this, but he just took a leap of faith. And so there was an email. He shared with her where he went to church. So there was an email that came in from her to that church and shared about the event, and the email went like this. She said, "I was doubtful to say the least. In fact, it was not my last pack." So she was saying nothing happened immediately. She said, "But over the next several days, everything he prayed happened. After battling a nicotine addiction for over 20 years, I have apparently been freed since I totally hate the taste and even the smell of cigarettes." And she goes on to say, I do not live anywhere near your church, but get this, but I, for one, have a new outlook about church and God. And that's the goal, everybody. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And that's really what it's all about. She says, I've been looking at your website and what it says about prayer. I'll never know the man, who the man was, but I just wanted to thank the church for this random act. And interestingly, this guy, actually at this church, served on the greeter team of the church, and he was sharing with some buddies of his about this awkward moment he had, but it was a moment he felt like was a divine appointment, and he felt a little awkward about it, but he went out and did it anyway, and somebody else heard him talk about that, knew about the email, shared with him the what had actually happened from that, and also what we found out in that moment was there was another guy at the gas pump that was listening to the conversation, and he said, so where do you go to church? And what's your service times? And so you never know. I'm just sharing that little simple illustration to share that you never know the moment that God has in somebody's life and how he'll use you wherever he has placed you. So again, we've looked at the world. We looked at your world. And this week, I want us to look at something that's very practical. And that is that, you know, there are many ways to be of influence. There's many ways to change your world. There's many ways to let your light shine. And I'll give you that. There's many ways. But today I want to talk about the best way. Without a doubt, with confidence, I can say it is the best way. I say that with confidence because Paul said it was the best way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is actually talking about the body of Christ and how we're all fit together. We're different members. We have different roles. We have different personalities. There's different parts to the body, but we all fit together and how important we all are in the body of Christ. And as he is talking about the body of Christ, he summarizes this with this statement found in 1 Corinthians, there in your notes, chapter 12, verse 27. He says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. But look in verse 31. He says, he sums it up this way, and now I will show you the most excellent way. And he is setting up something. Now that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How many of you know what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is about? Tell me again. Love. Love. Very good. Love. Everybody knows, most people know that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is called the love chapter. And he is setting that up, saying, I'm just going to show you a more excellent way. And so here's the deal. Love is the best way to change the world. That's it. Isn't that profound? Isn't that great? You say, is that all there is? There's got to be more to that. Well, there is. But think about it. Love is the most important and most valuable thing that we have to offer the world. And it is the very best way to change the world. Put another way, all we need is love. Come on, y'all. Da, 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 da. Right? All we need is love. Now, I apologize for that. I'm just making a point. But love is really what we need. Now, we're going to drill that down a little bit. And what we're going to look at today, though, is a process that I believe probably most churches, in fact, probably most Christians get backward in this process. We start with the end where it actually should be starting. And as we go through this process today, I want you and I to think about the order, this order, and how it works. I want us to, as we think about this order, I want us to think about our sphere of influence. That group of people that you see every day at the water cooler, or those people that you work with, or your family, or maybe that particular person that you'd like to influence, you'd like to lead them to Christ, and how can we change their world? Well, the mechanism for change here at Crosspoint, our system, our mechanism, if you will, to make sure that people are loved is small groups. In the context of small groups, where you can get real with people, where you can break it down, where you can get in relationship, that is really where change happens. Small groups are the environment in which love works through. Small groups. If you really want to be loved, if you want to be prayed for every day, if you want to be cared for, if you want to know people, listen, it can't just happen here in a big group. It's got to happen in the small groups where you can get in relationship. It's got to be more than just a pat on the back on Sunday mornings, everybody. We need to be in small group. We need to be in relationship with one another because it's God's design that we are in relationship with people. And this process of changing the world by loving people is going to start with adding value to them. Add value to them. That's your first blank there in your notes. Add value to them. Now, oftentimes, our instinct is that we first want to preach at them. And we want to let them know that they're a sinner. And oftentimes, there is an approach out there that's the starting point. We're going to preach at them because, you know, unless they hear the word, they can't be changed, they can't have faith. And that's true, but there's a process and a way to do that. And a lot of times we just think, well, let's just get them in here and let's just tell them how low down, dirty rascal of a sinner they are. God's Holy Spirit will convict them and they'll come to Christ. Well, I think there is a more excellent way. Now, I'm not denying the preaching of God's word. It is important, but there's a way to preach it, and there's many different ways to preach his word. And by the way that you live your life, guess what? You're preaching every day. I think all of us know that the guy with a megaphone on the street corner screaming and yelling at girls and calling them prostitutes and other things is not very effective. Can we agree on that? In fact, when I was in college, and that was a while back, y'all, they had a guy that would stand in a neutral zone area on campus, and he would scream and yell at the kids. And there was actually a group of kids that would gather around just to see the show. And they would laugh at him, and they'd throw insults back and forth, and it was terrible. In fact, what's interesting is it's still going on these many years later. I understand that occasionally there is a guy that still shows up on campus right across the street and does it. And I'm going to tell you, that's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. The guy at the football game with a megaphone screaming at people, that's not how it works. Here's where we need to start. We need to start where people are, and we need to add value. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 that says, "You are the salt of the earth." You're the salt of the earth. Now, what does salt do? Salt makes things better. It makes things better. You add value to someone so that when you've got a coworker that's having a hard time, something struggling with something, you add value to that person. Maybe it's a coworker in sales and their sales are down. You know, what do? You come up to them and say, well, the reason your sales are down is you're in sin. You repent, come to Christ, your sales would go up. You may laugh, but I have seen those. Has anybody seen those kind of things out there? And I'm going to tell you, that's not the most excellent way. There is a process of adding value to them. And we're going to go through four steps. And all these steps are spiritual. They might not come across as much, but the end result of it you're going to see is a very spiritual process, I believe, that God has designed. And I believe small groups is a beautiful place where change can happen in someone's life and influence can greatly happen in the context of small groups. I mean, think about it. Adding value. Say we have people that you know that have children and they need help in parenting. And guess what? All parents do. I don't care what they say. All of us need help. There's no easy button when it comes to parenting. And all children are different. I've told my parents that. I let my kids stay with my parents one time, and my dad, you know the drill. My dad would say, and I would be trying to tell him everything about how to do with the kids, and he said, look, we raised three. I think we did okay. You know, we know what we're doing. And I'm like, yeah, but that was a different three than these two. You know, they're different. And all of us need help. Well, why not create a small group with an emphasis on parenting, with a study on parenting? Maybe take a DVD and make it simple and invest and add value to them. You may get people to come to your small group that not even a Christian, but yet they need help parenting, and that's where to start. Add value to them. It may be somebody that is having trouble in their marriage and needs some marriage skills, and so bring a small group to that need. Wherever there's need, look around you, everybody. There's needs all around us. I actually had somebody come up to me this morning and say, hey, Pastor, look at this book. Check it out. Look at the back cover of it. Look what this is about. I think this would be a great small group. Because why? Because this person realized, hey, I can bring value to somebody with these things. And so we need to look at how we can do that with small groups and add value. And get this, and you might need to write this down. I think this is profound. Listen to this. If you add value to people, you will earn the privilege to influence them. Can I say that again? If you add value to people, you will earn the privilege to influence them. So start there with adding value. Meet their need first. Start there. And then secondly, let's build intentional community with them. And we need to emphasize that word, intentional. What I'm talking about is not going out and trying to organize something necessarily that's apart and different from what you're already doing, but you're probably already grouping with people. You just need to make it intentional. Intentional community. The community that you're already in, just make it intentional. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together." That's important, to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging, what's that? Adding value, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we need to be intentional when it comes to small groups. And yes, I'm emphasizing small groups today because I believe we're in the context of small groups. That's where it happens. I believe small groups will be the backbone of this church, or should be the backbone of this church. And I believe it will help grow the church and help us to reach people for Christ through the context of small groups. It's that important. It's that important. My goal would be that every one of us is in a small group. But there's a lot of misconceptions about small groups. I want to talk about this intentional community that we're trying to build. There's many misconceptions, and some people really don't get into a small group because of those misconceptions. First of all, small group is not a teacher in the front of the classroom with rows in the classroom and the teacher standing there lecturing you and you're sitting there listening for an hour. That's not a small group, okay? That's not what we're talking about. I grew up in Sunday school, and Sunday school's good, but I remember sitting in Sunday school and the teacher would be teaching. Sometimes it was even my mom. Hate to say this, but there are times where I would be staring out the window. I could still see that oak tree out the window, and I'm thinking, "Well, God, help me to stay awake. Okay, help me to stay awake." You know, and I knew it has served great purposes in past, and I thank God for that a model. It actually started with Billy Kidd many years ago with his crusades, this concept, and it grew. But listen, this morning, what we're talking about is a community that's different than that. Now, let me just say this. There's another concept also, not just that picture, but there's also a concept that, okay, I know what you're talking about. You're talking about it being a small group being in this circle where we sing Kumbaya, you know, and we do weird things, and we stand in the middle of the circle, and we tell everything about ourselves. No, that's not what we're talking about, okay? And so I want to say, in fact, you know, some of us think, well, we got to get together. We got to have this kind of campfire kind of setting. We got to sing songs. You know, that's not necessarily a good thing, because you get a group of guys together, and you got a leader that says, I think we should just sing. You know, look, you do not have to sing. Because a bunch of guys getting together singing is not necessarily a good thing. I'm just saying. These guys do it well, but see, here's the thing. Sometimes we think we got to make it real churchy, and we got to make it God in your face, and we got to do this worship thing, and we got to do all this stuff. And I just want to dispel that misconception. That's not what this is all about. Are you following me? Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to have some guy that's going to come from a workplace that you're going to invite. And, you know, and he may be not church, okay? And he walks in, and he walks out, and he says, "That was weird. I'm never coming back there again." Now, you look at me like I'm strange or something, but you and I have both been in those settings, whether it be a church or a small group or what have you. You walk in, you walk out, you go, "That's weird. I'm never going to do that again," all right? What I'm saying is it doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be in their face. It doesn't have to be a leader. Listen, the leader is not somebody that does everything, prepares a message, 3 points, and a poem, and a funny story to boot. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. I got all this pressure on me. I got to prepare 3 points and a poem. You know? No. That's not what it is. I want us to shift the way we think and understand really what we're talking about when we're talking about building intentional community. And if you tried a group and you say, yeah, that was weird, I was uncomfortable there, I didn't like that, that wasn't my group. Listen, every group is not your fit, right? But when, you know, you can say, well, I tried a group 20 years ago, and I remember what small groups were all about, and I'm not doing that. Guess what? We've all had bad haircuts, right? But you never stopped getting your hair cut, did you? You know, you just didn't go back to that barber, all right? You found a new barber shop or a new salon, but you didn't give up on it. So whether it was last week or 20 years ago, don't give up. You know, different birds, right? Birds of a feather flock together, right? So be willing to try it again. But I want us to shift the way we think about it, and I want to present a word to you, sort of changing the language. We're not changing the way that we're identifying groups. They'll continue to be called small groups. But I want to present this word just so you can help. I can help you understand what we're trying to create here in the way of small groups. And the word is round tables. Round tables. And let me put it this way. Circles are better than rows, because no one wants to be in relationship with someone who is always standing there telling you what to do. But rather, this thing, the way this looks, is that it is us all sharing life together. In fact, let's look at that word leader and replace it with the word facilitator. And yes, you're still a leader, and you may still be a teacher. But I want you to understand, more importantly, you are a facilitator. That word facilitator means to help guide it. It's not just you talking, but it's you helping guide that. And I want to look at three thoughts when it comes to round tables. First of all, round tables are easy. Round tables are easy. They can happen anytime, anywhere. Anytime, that's your blanks there, and anywhere. Not just can they only happen before church or on a Wednesday night, and we have those groups that meet here, and that's fine. But not only that, but it can happen anytime, anywhere. Morning, lunchtime, before work, after work, evening, middle of the week, weekend. They can happen anywhere. It can happen at coffee shops, restaurants, offices, the ballpark, the schoolyard. I mean, they can happen anywhere, in a business conference room. Just think about it. They can happen anytime, any place, right? Anywhere. So I want you to broaden your thinking out of the four walls of this church and the Sunday school concept, okay? What we're talking about is getting in relationship with people, right? A facilitator means this: to make easy or less difficult, to help forward someone, to help forward. Means to help people move forward one step. Sometimes we think we got to move somebody A to Z. No, just work on moving them from A to B and do one step. Assist the process of someone. If someone's come to Christ, if they haven't become water baptized, then encourage them into water baptism. If somebody's come to Christ but they're not reading their Bible, encourage that person. Let's read our Bible every day. Let's join together. You and me, we're going to keep each other accountable. We're going to read our Bible every day. We're going to pray every day. You know, just help them one step. And if they were not praying before and now they're praying, guess what? You just help them one step. If they're not reading their Bible every day, guess what? You just move them one step. So we're going to move people one step at a time. Assist the progress of someone. That's what facilitator means, to assist the progress of someone, right? Acts 4:13 is not in your notes, but I want to share this with you. It says that when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When they looked, when the world and the church and even the religious people and the leaders of that day looked at Peter and John, and they saw the miracles that were taking place, and they saw the influence that they were having, and they saw that they were being used to change the world, they looked at them, and they were astonished because they said they were unschooled, ordinary men that were doing this. Now, the translators were actually very kind, because if you look at the original Greek, when it was translated into our language, you know, the Bible scholars, they didn't want to be unkind. And so they described it as unschooled, ordinary. Unschooled, ordinary. But the translation from the Greek, the word in the Greek actually, let me just tell you what that word is and see if you can determine what the translation is. That word is idiotos. Idiotos. Anybody got an idea, any idea what that probably means? They were idiots, they said. These guys are idiots, and yet they're changing the world. Well, guess what? I qualify as an idiot. So, hey, if I could change the world, we could all change the world, right? If they could change the world and they were idiots, we could change the world, right? Amen. I don't know. That encourages me. There were idiots, they're described as, and they were changing the world, right? There was a guy I heard the story of. His name is Ken, who was being encouraged to lead a small group, and he didn't think he could. And they just kept after him and tried to encourage him to lead a small group. And so finally he agreed, and he recruited like crazy. And he got a bunch of men together, and they started doing life together, and he wanted to add value to them, just started having great success as a small group leader. And as he started getting in relationship with them, he discovered that a lot of them were not reading their Bible. So he started encouraging them, let's read our Bible. Let's take the one year calendar for the Bible, and let's read through that, and let's encourage one another, and let's read daily. And in doing that, he discovered that there was one person that could not read. And so, to add value, he got a tutor to help him and paid for that and helped him get a tutor and be able to begin to learn to read. And he couldn't read before. He added value to him. And out of that small group, there were, at the end of the semester, there were two men that were water baptized, and get this, and one baby that was saved from being aborted because this man agreed to lead a small group because one man, a businessman, was willing to have a round table, right? So round tables, look at this, round tables are easy. Anybody, even an idiot, can do a small group. Second thing I wanted to see, and that is that round tables are interesting. Round tables are interesting. They're easy, and they are interesting. Why? Because they are built around your passions and professions, if you like. All right? They're built around your passions, or perhaps even your professions. It may be you're passionate about the Bible. You're passionate about a certain book in the Bible. You're passionate about a scripture. You're passionate about a subject, a topic. And so you want to get some people together and just share together and build a group around that. It may be your profession. It may be your work. It may be your work skills and what you do that you want to share that with someone else, and you build a small group around that. I mean, it could be around anything. It could be football coming up, you know, this football season. You're going to put together a tailgate group. It's feeling of football's in the air group. And, you know, you're going to get together and hang out and watch football and do the football thing. Well, it can be anything, okay? But they're effective because they're personally for you and publicly for others in your group. In other words, you're going to benefit personally when you lead a small group. You're going to benefit personally. It's going to benefit you. Because here's what happens. When people agree to do a small group, first you think you're doing it for them, and you find out you're doing it for you, because oftentimes the leader is more, has, can I get a witness from any of our small group leaders? You benefit yourself because you're having to get yourself prepared, and you're having to pour to them. But what happens is when God pours into them, he's pouring through you, and you get blessed in the process, right? Can I get a witness out there from our small group leaders? All right. Thank you. There's our passionate small group leader. All right. There's a double impact. It will stretch you. It'll grow you. And get this. This is another one you need to write down. In God's economy, when you invest in others, your value goes up. You follow that? And let me get that to you again. In God's economy, when you invest in others, your value goes up. Guess what? If you focus on you, your value is going down. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you try to find yourself, you lose yourself. If you try to lose yourself, you'll find yourself. I heard of an email from a guy named John to a church, and it goes like this. He says, "I don't remember if I thanked you for encouraging me to lead a small group. Thank you, thank you, thank you, exclamation point." He says, "It's doing more for me in my relationship with God than I ever imagined. It's taking me to the next level." And then he adds fist bump to it. All right? It won't just change your world. It will transform you. I've heard of people that took a marriage group, a small group for leading marriages, and that was their intent was to help other people with their marriages. And they discovered that it transformed, not just changed, but transformed the leader's marriage, him and his wife. I will tell you, it will change your life. The guy Ken, who had the group of men, and he got them to read the Bible. He actually bought the men Bibles, and he actually discovered that he felt like he had the least to offer, but he found out that he was growing probably more than anybody in his group was growing, because he led a small group. Listen, roundtables are effective personally and publicly. And then look at the next thing that we've got to do. And this is where it gets really personal. We got to share struggles with them. And this is where it gets real. This is where it gets real. We got to be able to share struggles with people. If you think you got it all together and you're going to tell somebody else how they can get it all together, guess what? You're not ready to change the world. If you think, well, I know how all this works, so I'm going to teach somebody now. No, you're not ready. That's not it. You need to write this word down, and that word is transparency. Just write that somewhere. Transparency. We got to be transparent. That means that not only are people sharing with you, but you're able to share with them, and together we work this thing out together. We get in the trenches together. We share, hey, I ain't got it. I hope if there's anything that's been discovered through the years of my ministry, is that I don't believe in standing up here with a three-piece suit on and wingtip shiny shoes and act like I got it all together and telling you how you need to live right. Folks, look, let me tell you who I have the most problems with in this church. Me, all right? I'm just saying. Maybe, hopefully you say the same thing and you're not just agreeing, yeah, you, Pastor, that's it. But we've all got struggles, right? We've all got issues. We've all got problems. They're already difficult. But together we work through this. Together we pray for one another and help one another through those things. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It says this: "There was a man all alone." This is a sad story. "He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for the work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down, they will help warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Here's something else for you. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. All right? Can I say, maybe I need to repeat that one again too. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And you can't care and you can't share what you know until you are open, until you're honest with people. Honesty, transparency will lead to change. James 5 says this: "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Pray for each other. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now look, the order is very, very important. Now, the order has been backwards, and that is we're going to preach. We're going to try to convict them right up front. And then what we want to happen is we want God to fix them. We want God to deal with their issues. And after God fixes their mess, then I can have community with them. I mean, I don't want to hang around them while they're messed up. So, God, you fix them. We're going to preach, God, you fix them, then we'll hang out with them, and then we'll find out after that what they need, and then we'll add value. And that's backward. Are you following that? I feel like I'm having to repeat everything today. Are you getting this? We want God to fix them, and I don't want to hang out at that low-down center. They got a problem. They got issues. I ain't getting around that. But if they get cleaned up, God cleans them up, then we can come in, bring them into church, we'll set them down, we'll have a good time, and then we'll find out about them, and then we'll get to know them, and then we'll add value to them. That's backwards. Is anybody hearing me? That's backward. What we've got to do is we've got to add value to them. We've got to start with their need. We've got to find out where they are. We've got to add value to them. And then a process of relationship happens, and in that process, we get real, and we share struggles in that process. And as we share struggles, it leads us to the final point, and that is then we connect them to Jesus, right? We connect them to Jesus. And this is the most important part of the process. Some people don't mind you helping them, but you don't want to. They don't want you to connect them to Jesus. You know, help me, give me what I need, but let me go on my way. But this is the most important part. But to get to this part, you got to have a relationship with people. People got to know that you care about them. You got to add value to them. So the next thing is, the last thing is connect them to Jesus. And here's what will happen in this process. And I hope you've been thinking about who you can connect with and who you can influence in this process today. But in this process, here's what will happen. You don't have to chase them down to preach to them. In fact, they're probably going to ask you before you even offer Jesus. They're going to say, what is it with you? And how can I have what you've got in this process, right? That's what Jesus did. Jesus would go and he would meet their needs, right? He would heal. It was later he would sit down and teach. He would go in and meet their needs. In fact, he would heal people, and then he would say, now just go away and don't tell anybody. He didn't say, and by the way, I'm God. No, he just met their needs. And they said, who was that man? Who was that man that now I was blind, but now I see? Who was that? I don't know who he is, but I got to find out who he is, right? When you pour into somebody's life, they're going to say, what is it about you? What do you believe? What? Hey, tell me more. And they're going to be hungry for more. Because why? Because you've added value to their life, because you care about them, because you share them, because you've gotten real with them. And because you've gotten real with them, guess what? They can begin to get real with you. Add value first. Meet their needs first. And then we can connect them to Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We're his ambassadors. We're to represent him. We're to be Christ-like. We're not to go waving our finger in front of people's faces. We're to share the love of Christ. We're to be ambassadors for him. And then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It says this, he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ, look, everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. I show you the most excellent way. Love is the most excellent love, excellent way. And if we do this, if we love in the most excellent way, we will change our world. Amen, everybody? Come on, everybody. Give God praise for his word today. It's God's word, and I believe it works. I believe it will work in your life. I want to do two things. I want to pray for your sphere of influence today. And then I want to pray for those who are not yet even today connected to Jesus. Perhaps you were at one time, but you know, if you would be honest, you would say, I'm not in right relationship with Jesus today. If you need a relationship, if you're disconnected, you're not in that right relationship, I want us to pray. And I want us to pray for the sphere of influences in our life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to be your ambassadors. Thank you for the privilege that we have to lead people to Christ. What an honor. There's nothing more important in this world. Nothing more important in this temporary world than the eternity of people's souls, the eternal destination of people. Oh God, I pray that you would help us to be soul winners. Your word says, he that wins souls is wise. God, may that be what this church is all about winning souls, seeing them be delivered, helping them discover what you have called them to be, and God, offer the opportunity for them to do and fulfill what you've always designed their life to be. God, help our church to be about those things. God, we praise you. And God, I pray that you would help us to be light, to be salt in our sphere of influence everywhere we go. God, I pray that that place at work, that place at home, place at school, place in our community, God, we pray that you would help us to do it your way, to reach out, to care, to love, to get in there where it's messy, to have relationship, God, but to connect them to you, Jesus, so that they'll discover that you're their best friend. Secondly, God, I want to pray for those that are disconnected. They're not in right relationship. And right now, if that's you in this house, you're not in right relationship, you're not where you need to be with the Lord, and you know it, I want to pray. I want to pray a prayer to connect you again to God. If that's you, you know it's you. You know the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart right now. Your heart may be beating faster than normal. Or you just know in your spirit, yeah, that's me. That's me. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you, call you to the front or have you stand. But if you'll just slip up a hand, I just want to agree in prayer with you right now. If that's you right now, would you just slip up a hand? Yes. 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 Yes, sir. Anyone else? God, right now I pray for those that have just lifted their hand. And I pray that you would, oh God, move in their life in a mighty way right now as they pray this prayer. Would you just, those of you that just raise your hand, would you just pray this prayer with me? Just there in your heart. Silently, or if you want to speak it softly, just pray these words. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I want to connect with you. Today, I want to be in relationship with you. By faith, I accept what you did on the cross when you paid for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me of all my mistakes. I'm asking you to come in and live inside of me. Forgive me for living life without you. Come and live inside of me. Today I give you my life. Forgive me for putting other things in front of you. Other things that have taken your place. God, be first in my life. Be everything in my life. Today I want to fall in love with you all over again. Today, come in. I receive you now. Thank you, God, for every person that just prayed that prayer in their heart. Prayed that prayer in sincerity to you. I know today that you've honored that prayer. Today you've come into their life. Today you've made a change in them. Now, Lord, I pray you'd use them to make a change in the world and in the world around them. I pray for this church. God, let us be a church that impacts our community. Let us no longer sit behind four walls, us four and no more. But God, I pray that supernaturally, your Spirit would put a fire within us. Put a new compassion for people in our hearts, oh God. Help us to be a church. What appears to be sitting dormant for some time, but yet explodes with new life as we reach out of these walls in our spheres of influence and see our families, see our communities, see our coworkers, see our classmates change, see lives changed around us through this most excellent way, that they may know your love, come to know you, and bring you glory and honor. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, everybody. Let's praise God together. Let's praise God together.